gonna do? Watch the world go by in a corner. Something I need to say. If you could see you the way I see you, you'd start flying on your own. Step aside and let your light, let your love show. It's a short ride, not a long road. When the rain's
yep, that's Keb Mo with Let Your Light Shine. A very interesting thing about his name. His name is really Kevin Moore. But where he comes from in the South, nobody pronounced his name the right way. Everybody called him Keb Mo. So he kept it as Keb Mo. If you go down there and you ask for Kevin Moore, nobody knows who you're talking about. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday, where your thoughts, your ideas, your opinions, your information, these are the stars of the show. And you take the program wherever you want to take it, by way of expressing your points of view. So you know the deal. 888-874-4888 is the number to call, and you can wax philosophic. This is what the program is all about. This is your time, and I encourage you to use it well. Use it well. Give us something to think about. Take us on a journey that we need to appreciate. Because you have something to share with us, something to tell us that is of value. So make great use of the time. This is one of the good things about PRN. I don't know any station, do you, where people have their own time to opine, to speak their minds, and to not hold back. Let us know what you're thinking. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Harvey from Berkeley, you start us off today.
Hello, fantastic Eutrice.
Hello, wonderful Harvey. We have a mutual admiration society going on here.
Yes, we do. And I really appreciate you and everything that you're doing to create a better world. I think you're wonderful.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you. And today I'd like to talk about why it's so important to move away from our current insurance-based health care to a single-payer health care system, which is a type of a universal health care that's financed by taxes, which would cover the costs of essential health care for all residents. Specifically because of what we have been witnessing with the coronavirus, as well as what we learned from the 2014 Ebola, as well as the MERS outbreaks. And in a November 25th, 2019 article, the headline was, "More than half of Americans have avoided medical care due to cost." And it says that a survey found that 85% of U.S. adults think that health costs are too high, and 78% have been afraid to go to the hospital. They're also afraid that their insurance policies will become more expensive, and about 4 out of 10 people surveyed have been unable to pay their medical bills at some point. And a recent study found that 66.5% of all bankruptcies were tied to medical issues, and an estimate of 530,000 families turn to bankruptcy each year because of medical bills. Under our current medical system, a lot of people who might come in contact with the coronavirus would avoid seeking medical attention until it's too late, increasing the potential of spreading the virus, which is why we need a single-payer healthcare system so that people won't be afraid to seek medical help. And President Trump and his administration recently kicked over 700,000 people off the Supplemental Nutritional System program known as SNAP. This will increase malnutrition across America, and people who don't get the proper nutrition are more susceptible to contracting illnesses, which will put us all in harm's way in case a major epidemic or pandemic outbreak takes place. In another recent article, Border Patrol will deploy elite tactic agents to sanctuary cities. Once again, President Trump and his Republican administration are using agents from special tactical teams to help ICE round up illegal immigrants in sanctuary cities across the country. This will drive people into deep hiding, and they too will not be seeking medical attention if they get sick, which once again puts us all at risk if there's a coronavirus outbreak. No thanks to President Trump and his short-sighted, cruel Republican administration. We need a single-payer healthcare system as soon as possible, and I feel that the Democrats should make a single-payer healthcare one of their main platforms in the up-and-coming election so that American men, women, and children will stay healthy during these times of worldwide epidemics. And I just want to thank you once again, Utrice, for letting me say that.
Oh, well, thank you. What you say has such relevance and importance, especially at a time like now, when we see ourselves being bombarded with all kinds of diseases we didn't expect, didn't even know of, and yet they're having intense impact all over the world. Thanks for calling in and contributing that. Gwen from New York City, you're on the air, Gwen.
Hi, Utrice, can you hear me?
Yes.
Utrice?
Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. Why is Gwen not hearing me? Okay, call back, Gwen, and let's see if it improves. If the line between us improves. Eve from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice.
Hello, E. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I just wanted to wish everybody a happy weekend, and I hope everybody's feeling well.
Thank you.
I just heard 3 days ago, Jeff Bezos donated $10 billion to fight global warming. Now, that's doing something. That's putting your money where your mouth is, Mr. Bloomberg. Instead of wasting $100 million on advertising, give it back to the people. And then you could become the president. And then Bernie couldn't say nothing because you're giving your money to help people. Like Elon Musk. He doesn't wait till he's the president to do something. He's doing something as a private citizen. He's reaching down into his pocket, pulling out his money, and doing something. He's battling carbon monoxide poisoning by creating Tesla Company electric cars. He's sending rockets up every 2 weeks to relieve NASA from having to do it because they're always complaining they don't get enough money from the government and they can't do nothing. So now he's creating our own mini shuttle, and we won't have to borrow the one that Russia has anymore. For the last 15 years, we've been borrowing theirs to get our astronauts up to the space station. Elon Musk is doing it single-handedly. Well, he has a lot of people backing up behind him, but here's two guys that are doing something, putting their money where their mouth is. And that's what you should have done, Michael Bloomberg, instead of looking like a deer in the headlights and giving your money to the advertising agencies. And since it's a donation, they get the money back anyway. It's a tax write-off. So this is what we need. More people like Jeff Bezos and Soros and Warren Buffett. They can all reach into their pockets and start helping the American people fight hunger, fight homelessness, and make this world a better place by using that money in a good, constructive way to help people. And then the world would be a better place. Don't you think, Eutrice?
Well, I'm following your line of reasoning. I see a lot of bumps in the road, however, because the one hand that giveth also might be the hand that taketh away. They give you help on one hand, and then on the other hand, you look at some of the policies that they have been enacting or a part of, and it's six of one and literally half a dozen of the other. But I get your point, and I'm glad you made it. Thanks a lot. Thank you. Gwen, you're back.
Hi, are you there?
Yes, we are here. Okay. Are you
there? Hello. I'm sorry, I had a little technical difficulty. I wanted to say, I agree with you on this. I don't know that that would solve anything. I mean, I think that millionaires, as I'm around them because I work in places where I'm around them, and I think that the obligation they feel, that it makes them feel really good to give stuff away because they have so much stuff. And usually the way they got that stuff was on a crooked road. So I don't really think there should be anybody who's in such a situation that they should be starving or out in the street. I mean, I think we should just try to eradicate that. But why I'm calling you today is because I couldn't get my point of view. Never can I get it through on WNYC. But I'm going to tell you because hopefully some of these people live here, listen to that station too. I just wanted to say that I am stunned at the bias, the brazen bias of not just CNN and MSNBC, but WNYC especially, because WNYC apparently gave birth to Mike Bloomberg, and they feel like they've got to coddle him all the way to the top, no matter how badly he bombs or what kind of a person he is. And even though it's a public radio station, or so they say, they never, ever speak about Bernie. And this is the first time I've ever seen anything like this, where the person wins, right? But we start talking right away about the runner-up. And then we go right in and we start talking about the third place loser who did a really great job for being a third place loser. But hardly anything to Bernie. And yesterday I was listening to, they didn't know what to do when Bloomberg bombed on that debate the other night. So they had to like cook a way of explaining why, you know, he really wasn't that bad. You know, he was going to come back better than ever. And you know, he clearly lost. He clearly, you know, made a fool out of himself up there. And I think the more we see of his candidacy, the more red flags people really ought to be aware of, that this is a man who pays off everybody. And, you know, when you don't think it's important, this guy has enough money to make sure that you will never get hurt. I remember that when I went down and spoke against him taking the third term, that coincidentally, I never had another newspaper article ever again. Not ever. Any interview I did, whether it was the radio or TV, not any of them ever aired.
Kiss of death, is it?
Well, if he doesn't like you, here's the thing about people that have that much money. Even though you think you're insignificant, why would they even care, right? They care about everything. And because you have so much money to throw out the window, you can make sure you track down even somebody like me, who I don't really think is any great challenge for Bloomberg, to make sure that my voice never gets heard again. And as I listen to people now talking and opening up to him, because he bullied the city so much, people were really terrified to go against him because of the pushback. If you said no to him, you would pay in some kind of a way that was a personal way, if you were involved in city politics or anything else. So I'm also watching and waiting for him to start rolling out Melissa Mark Viverito as his Puerto Rican prom queen, because he banked her recently $85 million. So watch. You've got the ministers in Harlem just endorsed him yesterday. You know who I'm talking about. I can't remember his name. He's a big, big, big shot, but he's also has a lot of real estate. And so they gave him an endorsement. I'm looking at the senators that are now, or Congress people that are endorsing him. And they're endorsing him because they got paid a lot of money. This is what's really, really, really bad about this man's candidacy. It is too dangerous to have somebody with this kind of money come out and take a public office, because everything's up for sale then after that. There's never a level playing field. And I want to tell you that even though I couldn't stand Mayor Giuliani, at least as an activist, I could still get, articles in the newspaper. As a matter of fact, I even saved PS109 while he was the mayor. So as much as I didn't like him, he didn't own the press. And he who owns the press owns everything, as you well know. And it looks like our press is very, very repressed and biased, and they will only represent not the people. I mean, right now, Bernie Sanders had a poll today where he is winning 10 out of 10 polls. That's phenomenal. And, remember, he's only doing it with these, $18 contributions. And has it hit the news? Does it mean anything? And I also found out something else today, is that watch that vote in Nevada, because they just signed up to an app for Google, which is how they're going to turn in their results. So even though he's winning with a clear passage through, you don't know what's going to happen with a large corporation like Google. They could definitely mess it up too. I mean, I think Bernie has suffering or getting hit from every place you can think of. He sent a funny text to us saying, "We're going to be hit with the kitchen sink," and then he said, "Everything inside of the kitchen sink too." So the Democratic Party, the DNC, is trying to destroy him. And then the Republicans are trying to destroy him. And today I even heard on NPR that, they're saying that Russia is endorsing him. It's ridiculous. But anyway, I wanted to get that out about WNYC because I enjoy some of their shows, but I think it's really disgraceful to say that, you are representing a public radio station. But all of their calls are screened, as you probably know. So nobody can just call and get on the radio. And I think it's really disgusting that people are working so hard in this campaign. We're putting our blood, sweat, and tears out there, too. You don't have to agree with Bernie Sanders, but I think everyone has a right to know that he is not just the front runner. He's already won two of these caucuses so far, set to win number three, and it's very, very exciting for people. And I also just want to say that was probably the best debate the other night, the first debate I actually saw, which I actually thought was pretty exciting. And I was glad that although I'm not voting for Elizabeth Warren, I really thought she had really put him back in his place where he belonged, because he really is not a nice man. And it's interesting to me how people like him want to be in public service when they seem to dislike the public so much. They bristle when they're around the public and they're quite uncomfortable. And yet he wants to be running the whole world. I mean, why don't he just go home and count his millions and he'll be happy alone? I don't know, just an idea.
Well, he could team up. He could team up one night, he and Donald Trump, and they could kind of commiserate with each other since they have so much in common. Thanks, Gwen, for calling back. I'm glad you got through. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Therese. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi. Thank you for calling in. What's on your mind today?
All right. I'm not going to talk too much about the politics, but I just want to talk about something that E mentioned earlier. And he was talking about Elon Musk helping
yes.
the people. I like E,
A lot of interference on your line.
Yes. A little windy. I like E a lot. He's real funny and everything, and he has a lot of good things to say. But I just wanted to let E understand that electric cars are all fine and dandy, but when he said about helping out NASA, taking over space flight, he has to understand that every time they send one of those rockets, and, I'm here in Orlando, so we get to see the rocket go up into orbit. Every time they shoot one of those rockets, it burns a hole in the ozone. They don't report that, but that's the fact. So, I have this pet peeve with people that are for the environment, but then glorify space travel. You got to understand that space travel requires a lot of fossil fuels to get one of those rockets into orbit. So they got to understand that without fossil fuels, you can't put a rocket into orbit.
So what is the alternative?
The alternative is to not engage in that practice. That's the alternative. Mm-hmm. If you truly believe in saving the environment, you understand? The Western society is addicted to electricity. Electricity is what's causing all of this pollution, the generation of electricity. We're addicted to it. You know, I'm using electricity right now, talking to you right now. I mean, without electricity, people freak out.
So what if somebody were to say to you, well, look, the race is wide open. We're seeing all these countries making their specific moves. And it's a case of if you don't move, you're out of it. Some other nation is going to capture your space. Now, what do you say to that?
I say you're 100% correct. And that is same thing goes as far as the nuclear weapons and the military. Mm-hmm. If we don't do it, then like you said, someone else is going to do it. But that's why I am also against space travel, because if as a human species, if what we do here on Earth, if you think that what we do here on Earth is not perfect and is not good, and that we need to keep fixing it, we shouldn't worry about going into space and spreading what we do here. We need to fix what we do here first before we start thinking about going into outer space and constantly burning holes in the ozone layer. You know, I know Harvey, he talks a lot about the environment and alternative ways of coming up with electricity and things like that. But I think I heard him talk about space travel at one point. And that's one thing that I can't quite understand, that if you think we're not doing things right now, why would we want to go into space and spread our bad habits into another planet? If we're destroying this planet, why would we want to go and destroy another planet? That's just a selfish
because way we can.
Of the human way of thinking about it.
The answer is because we can. People would ask logical questions. Why would you do this if you know it will cause that? They're not interested in what it causes. They're not interested in the result of their actions. They're interested in capturing first place, in doing something, in pioneering something, no matter what the cost or consequences.
What I'm talking about, people that believe, that truly believe in the environment, truly believe in humanity. You know, we need to fix the problems that we have here on Earth before we start going into space travel and constantly, like Elon Musk he's been blasting off these rockets left and right over here and filling the whole lower orbit with nothing but space junk, creating a worldwide network for internet, and all that is just a bunch of space junk that he's putting up into the space. He's polluting space. So, you know, you might think that he's doing something good, and I think you just said that to Gwen, that where you, or either to E, where you said you think they're doing something good, but in the background they're doing something else to you, you know, and that's basically Elon Musk. So don't get fooled. You know, you think he made a nice little gadget, electric car, and all that, which the batteries are pollutants as well. So you know, don't get fooled by the hype. Is all I'm saying to you.
All right, don't give in to the hype. Patricia from New York, you're on the air. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Yatrice. I'm doing well, and I hope you are also. Good afternoon to the PRN family. You know, I don't like to say I told you so, but you may remember a few months ago I said the DNC is going to do any and everything to derail both Bernie and Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth seems to have faltered, but I don't doubt her ability to come back. But if you remember, I said that the convention was going to be a brokered convention, and it was going to be quite raucous. And I'm now beginning to hear that word brokered, i.e., we're going to do everything we can to make certain that Bernie is not the nominee. And it just goes to show, I mean, if anyone is really looking and listening and remembering the lessons that they teach us, because they teach us lessons every day, we just don't heed the lessons, that the DNC will do any and everything to make certain that their nominee, who continues to be Joe Biden, is the nominee. You know, I was listening to Gwen talk about, you know, MSNBC. If you listen to the commentators on MSNBC, they actually are the mirror image of Fox News. Practically every one of those commentators, I would say 98%, have had some contact. Either they worked for the Obama administration or they worked for previous Democratic administrations. A few have worked for previous Republican administrations, but the majority of them have had some connection, either directly or indirectly, with Democratic regimes. So their take on it is very party oriented, which is why you cannot get an accurate evaluation or assessment or analysis of anything that's going on. In the same way, you can't get an accurate assessment or analysis of anything from Fox News. They are literally mirror images of each other.
So where does that leave us?
Where does it leave the
masses of people?
Well, you see, that's the problem. The masses of people are left uninformed. As I always say, it's the fight for people's minds. And the fight is between MSN and Fox News. And who is going to be the victor for the minds of the people?
Hmm.
And that's what this is.
What do you think of independent media? Are we doing the job? Are we having any effect as far as you can see?
Independent, there's not enough independent media. And independent media, unfortunately, at this particular point, has a very small but steady following. It just needs to be expanded more. We need to talk to everybody that we know to begin to listen to independent media. I do that all the time. As a matter of fact, that's how Julie became connected with PRN. I tell everybody I know about PRN, but they are so inundated by the messages from the DNC and from MSNBC that they don't believe that independent media is up to snuff. Yeah, they give us another viewpoint, but they're not really accurate. They don't really know what they're talking about. It was like Malcolm before people really began to listen to Malcolm. Oh, he's just talking. What does he know? Independent media, what do they know? We don't see them on TV every day. We don't hear them on the radio every day. They're on the internet, which means they can't be that powerful. You are not credible unless you're perceived to be powerful. That's what the problem is.
Well, you hit the bullseye right there. We must, and this is something I'm going to take up and promote, we have to grow this audience by all means necessary, even if it is a one-on-one, you talking to people you know, and let them know that there is something else that they can refer to get a more panoramic view of what is going on. So we're going to have to push PRN, and that should be everybody's charge. All your friends, all your neighbors, all the people who you work with, let them know that you listen to the station for a different and more substantial point of view. Thank you so much, Patricia, for calling. Thank you. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello, David.
I'm fine, thank you very much. A couple things have come to me this week. I listened to Dr. Baba's presentation that you did on Monday, and a couple things are coming to mind. Dr. Baba talked about all the deficits in this country for especially the masses of people, poor people, of all colors, and the fact that we have a significant number of people who are in poverty or homeless, who don't have jobs that full-time, well-paying jobs. And he went on and on about that, and I'm sure that most of it was very accurate. He gave agencies where he got this information and so forth. But here's how it sounds to me. It sounds like the slaves going to Massa to do something to improve their condition, maybe make them work a little longer. So Massa, will you improve our condition, our housing, and our other benefits that you could give us? But here's what I think. He did not talk about changing the fundamental system that we live in, which is voracious capitalism, imperialism, and, you know, those are the real problems. So even if Massa throws out a few more bones to people, like he usually does, he always finds some way, after things die down a little, to take them back, like he's taken back slowly but surely Social Security and all the benefits of the Great Depression, all that he can take back. Now he's taking about the things that President Johnson put in there, you know, food stamps and Medicare, Medicaid. He just puts those things in to kind of quiet things down, and they're taken back. With the situation that exists with Obama during his tenure, he made certain regulations and whatnot for water and other environmental things. And when Trump got in there, he just took them back. So what I'm saying is that Dr. Barber did not talk anything about changing the fundamental system of capitalism and imperialism and constant warfare and all the things that need to be changed. Do we need to have a system that it runs the economy and the social benefits of the people, where the social benefits of masses are low and the ruling class gets richer and richer? He didn't talk about that. That's
well,
one
to be
thing
fair,
I want.
To be fair, what he was aiming at was talking directly to the members of the Congressional Black Caucus as the legislators who could influence legislation that in turn would influence political change.
Yes, well, you know, he's trying. He's trying with the people who are in that caucus, you know, the misleadership class of people. But I think that would be one of the things that I would have added to his discussion, even though it might not work with those people who are in that club of Democrat and Republican. So
his point was that he made a call to action, and he made that call directly to them. So this should come as no news that they didn't know. He made the call. He actually ran through the logistics of it, the political changes that could be effected within a short time if they tackled certain districts and if they captured certain votes. So they can't say nobody really came to them and told them anything. He gave it a good try.
That was good that he got that out. But I'm just adding to it what really needs to be done to fundamentally change the system that we have. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is these so-called, they call them debates, and where they're not really debates. With these candidates, with the Democrat part of the Uniparty. They are getting to the stage now where they're attacking each other for various deficits that they have. You know, maybe it's Bloomberg and the workers in his business and the sexual harassment and things like that. Or I guess you could pick any of them and they'll find some weak point and bring it up. I would like to see a real discussion that they would have on talking about the various things that we need to look at. For example, the military system. Why is half the budget going to having an imperialist military system that is all around the world? What are we going to do about improving Social Security so it is really a pension system for the older people in the country? What are we going to do about all the conditions that affect people, like so-called, quote-unquote, education? What are we going to do about health care? You know, they talked about that a little. So to me, discussions should be about what can be done. What do they say in terms of what do they represent in terms of doing the things that the people need in this country that benefit all the people, and especially the non-ruling class people?
Well, you may not agree with what I'm going to say, but I say this is an assignment that rests specifically with the groups of people affected in the main. You can't, we have fallen into a pathological pattern of assigning people who do not have our interests at heart to begin with the very thing of formulating answers to our problems. They have no vested interest in solving the problem. So, and we see very little, if any, action in the communities most affected. We see no lobbying going on. We see a lot of complaining, but we see no mobilization on these issues. And we don't see what Reverend Barbara called a call to action. We don't demand action.
That's right. That's right. That's why I'd like to be one of those questioners, because these are the things I would bring up and drive it into them. And I would also, in every case of one of these people that is on that list of folks that are running for the Democrat nomination, I'd want everyone to have their list of supporters and how much money they paid for them to run for this office. Are you going to talk? You got to have a sign up saying all the big donors who gave you money, all the corporations, all the people that gave you substantial donations. So people ought to know where the money is coming from that's supporting these so-called candidates. And the other part of it is I'm agreeing with you that the people have to come forward and demand conversation on these things. So absolutely, that's the way I feel about it.
Thank you so much, David, for your call today. We go to Jamaica, Queens, and we await the very insightful words of Ed.
Good afternoon, Utrice. How are you?
Okay.
You know, I just wanted to say on this Freestyle Friday, thank you for your show. It reaches a lot of people, that I didn't expect. And, you know, a lot of people on this show listen to what I've said. And during the course of my work, because I'm a mechanic, I travel around the city of five boroughs. You'd be surprised, people recognize your voice, you know. And, you know, I'm not patting myself on the back, but it's for someone who really isn't, who has never really had any aspirations of any type of fame or notoriety for broadcasting, it feels good to get in the conversation with people when they hear what I say. Sometimes my voice has a distinctive sound, I'm told, and when the people hear my voice, say, you were on Utrecht's show yesterday, or da, da, so on and so forth. With that being said, based on the conversations I had, I just want to drop a few little things, insights of my own. Basically, I think you would agree that party politics is dead in this country. I mean, as far as Democrat, Republican, as far as the traditional platforms that parties used to have, even if it was just a show game, now it's completely gone. We've devolved into the politics of personality. And this whole election cycle is a perfect example of it. And what I tell people when they ask me my opinion or what I see as my humble opinion, be that as it may, I tell them you got one or two choices. You know, you can get hyper-local. You can involve yourself with local organizations that you feel represent the values and ideals and standards that you want, and try to change your immediate environment. Because once you change your immediate environment, there's a funny thing that happens. That starts to radiate out. I believe it's based in physics. Once you send out a vibration, it starts to radiate out. It's not esoteric or anything. Even what you said, to tell you the truth, I went out and bought a broom yesterday. Ah! I'm going to find a part of my street and I'm going to sleep. That's right. I thought about what you said. Yeah, and I'm going down 93rd Avenue, and I said, you know, she's right. And I bought a broom, and I might even get a garbage can and chain it to the pole. And just that gives you a sense of I can control something, because we're living in a world where they're taking the control away from you in large drafts and criminal organizations. And everybody talks about this massive change, this fundamental change. If you look at American history, nothing happens in a vacuum, and nothing happens overnight. And fundamental change always comes from a small percentage of the population, and it's local. It starts in the small towns. It starts in the suburbs. It starts with people saying, listen, we're not going to take this anymore, or we want this and we want that. And then momentum grows, and then, as David calls them, the powers that be have to break, because the bottom line is there's more of us than there is of them. And that's the logic. That's the secret that they don't want you to realize. There's more of us than there is of you. And as long as you can keep me at the next guy's throat for whatever trivial reason, race, sex, religion, all which are trivial, all which are personal decisions, which you should keep to yourself, but take me from concentrating on the greater good, it's always going to be like this. And this is just the personification of things that have been going on for since this country, quote-unquote, democratic experiment started. And choice number two is just bend over and prepare to be serviced. I mean, that's the only two choices we got now. That's the only two choices we got. And people got to wake up.
So tell me what you're going to do with this broom that you just bought.
I'm going to sweep 93rd Avenue. There's a section where I live off of Jamaica Avenue, 93rd Avenue, which is always dirty. They dump there. I've argued with garbage men trying to get some of the stuff thrown out. One time somebody threw a television out there, and I had to run down the garbage truck and beg the guy to take it, throw it in the back of the truck, and I did it myself. But, you know, just to sweep that little section where I walk my dogs in the morning, to sweep that section to keep it clean, you know, I might be the only nut out there, who knows, maybe somebody will join. But just to say, hey, this is where I live, I don't want to see this, let me do something about it.
That's great to hear. That is great to hear. And it's great that you have become an ambassador of the show without even knowing it.
Yeah.
People are recognizing your voice because you make a very valuable contribution every time you call. It's not just, you know, blowing in the wind. You are talking about something substantive that people are relating to. And I thank you, and I always thank the participants in this program for contributing at a consistently high level. It's a great honor to be among you and to share in that that joy of doing good work. Thank you so much for your work. And congratulations on your new book. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
My beloved sister, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm fine.
I'm hanging in.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
I said I'm hanging in.
Okay. It was absolutely right. I've been listening to you for 20 years, and I remember once this person said to me, what station is that? Because you were on. And I've always listened to you because you're my teacher, my mentor, and my guide. On your shoulders, I stand.
Oh, my gosh.
No, you may not recognize
it. Let me locate the box of Kleenex.
No. You see, I'm one of your best students.
But here's the thing I want you to know. It is a mutual feeling. No. I am so elated when we interrelate with each other, the audience and me, and I learn so much just by listening. Just by listening. I learn
you
so
learn
much.
Wait a second. You learn from us, you trees?
Yes.
You wouldn't believe it,
but it's true.
We're in the classroom. Because I think you're what I would consider to be supreme.
Oh.
That's how I feel. And I know this.
You can't use words like that very casually now, Willie. That's a heavy word right there.
Well, you have the white supremacist. You're beating up on a little old man and a little man, 4-6 guys, and you say you're supreme. That's not supreme, not in my judgment. And the work that you're doing and the teaching that you are teaching, it is supreme. I remember when you used to have Earl Caldwell and Clayton Ryle. These are two intellectual giants, and you have them in a corner beating the, just like Tyson would beat you up, both of them at one time. I remember another time there were some people from the editorial board of the Daily News, and they were hanging all kinds of crazy stuff. Because you were beating them up. So this is not a vague statement I'm making. This is an actual fact. Anyway, listen. You know,
good.
That's...
Thank you for the transition.
You change of subject.
Go right ahead.
You know, you were talking about that. We have to help and do our part. I've been saying that from day one.
Yes,
even
you
sometimes
have.
You
yes,
mentioned
you
to me, Mr. Pierin. No, because that's the only way I see out. Because the people, the majority of the people, don't know. And they have no way to get the factual information. The people in Pierin is doing their work. We are the ones to be blamed for all of the, I better not say that, from the problems that we say we have, because we're not doing our work by sharing. That's all we have to do. Because, think about this, the greatest threat for any nation, particularly the United States, is truth, nothing else. Because that gang in Washington and that so-called, whatever you want to, you know, it irritates me when people talk about the Democrats and the Republic. It really irritates me because, I mean, I've been listening so long to PR and NPR that I know it's a game. They're playing with us, and they're insulting our intelligence.
It is not enough to stop right there and just say they're playing a game and the game is on us. What we need is for you to go to the next level now and tell us what will be a good counteroffensive. What would work? What would elevate us all?
Well, for now, for now to change it, to change what the system as is, what they're doing right now for the next election. It's just too late. Bloomberg will be the president of this country.
You think so?
No, I know so. I don't speak on, I'm like you, my sister. I don't speak on things I don't know. It is a very, very dangerous thing to do. I know this. The purple gang, better known as the Federal Reserve, okay? Anyway, listen, Sister Leona, that sister is so, she has a prophetic voice. And,
oh, she is from Michigan. Leona.
Michigan.
Leona from Michigan, yes.
And Sister Patricia and Brother E. And all these people, they could do your show, you know. I'm not saying they could replace you. They could do your show because they're very, very articulate.
I am perfectly convinced of that. Most of the people who call in, and this is why I believe this is the proper use of radio. When you embolden or you encourage people to take charge of their own opinions and thoughts and not shy away from having a strong opinion, but taking care to study your subject and prepare yourself to have an intelligent give and take, because you know people are going to do everything they can to put your lights out.
But
when they sense that you know what you're talking about, and when they sense that you know how to defend your point of view, they hesitate. You're not an easy target.
Sister Eutrice, listen. Talking to you, it's not an easy thing to do, because whatever you accept as true, you come with a left hook and knock you out. So, you know, it's natural that we're people, because I'm afraid of speaking with you. You know?
No. Don't be afraid at all. Don't be afraid at all. I am just as human as you are, and just as interested in what you're thinking as you are in what I'm thinking. And that's the beauty of this program. We come together with mutual respect and a mutual desire to learn. And you can't ask for better than that. You just cannot ask for better than that. This show actually invigorates me because people are offering their sincerest thoughts and ideas and with good intention behind it. They're not trying to bamboozle anybody or misguide anybody. You know, they're saying their truth. And you really can't ask for better than that. So, you could wrap up because we're out of time. Okay, he's gone. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. And I really want to push this idea of us getting the word out about PRN generally and its good programs, and about Lead Stories, which is a favorite of mine. It just so happens I know the host. She's kind of crazy, but on a good day, she can knit a thought or two together and seemingly make sense. But this is good radio from the point of view that you are encouraged to do your own thinking, and your thinking is validated and valued, and hopefully it encourages. You have no idea how my heart skipped a beat when Ed from Queens said he went out and bought a broom. I was speechless there for a minute, because that is the difference between a program that encourages you to be inert, to do nothing except turn a knob or plug something in and just listen. You're a passive listener. When we get to be active listeners, activated by our own thoughts, our own exchanges, this is the beginning of good things, beginning of very good things. And I am perfectly pleased with that. So this is the weekend. Surround yourselves with people who bring good things into your life, good dimension to your life. And take it easy. Don't let this madness overcome you. Take it easy and keep it at bay, at least until one day when we connect again. Bye-bye.